folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am sitting in today, or at least for the first segment. Melody will be joining us on the second segment. She said there's so much going on, she won't chime in today. But anyway, this is Financial Survival. This is Pastor Butch Paul. I'm glad you're with us. It is 23 February 2022. Welcome to the program. We're going to bring up our guests in a minute, as always, Wendy Wilson. But first, I'll go through the metals and the markets, if you don't mind. The metals had a good day. Gold is up 0.6%. That's up, I'm trying to find the price. Yeah, okay, it's up to $19.08.50. Silver is up 38 cents to $24.50, about $24 range finally. Platinum is up 16 bucks to $1,012.50. Palladium had a great day, up 133 to $24.67. Some metals have had an up day. On the other side, all but one of the markets is down. All the U.S. markets are down. The Dow was down 1.48%, 497 points, folks, to 33.09. NASDAQ was down 2.52%, 337 points, to 13.044. The S&P was down also 1.88%. to 42.23, so the markets took a hit here in the USA. They really did. Japan was down. Germany was down. Hong Kong and London both were up. Imagine that. Japan was down 453 points to 26.449. Hong Kong was up 141 points to 23.660. London was down 397. No big change, 774.98. Germany was down. Up 397. Germany was down 61.38 to 14.631. So the markets in the overseas are mixed today. The 10-year yield was at 1.98%, up 0.03%, and oil was up a little, about 16% at 91.76. And we're going to see that go much higher. I guarantee you, folks. Oil is going to go much higher, much, much higher. Lithium metals, gold is less than 100 bucks away from a record. Silver's climbing again, platinum's climbing again, and palladium's climbing again. Now's the chance to get in, folks. Even if you drop back down a few dollars, I guarantee the way things are looking in the world today, metals are going to do very well. And I do believe it's going to really start picking up this year. So anyway, our guest today, as always, and this is Wendy Wilson, the Pock Theory Herbs. She's always got something interesting to talk about. And I think today she's going to talk about her guts. That's one of my least favorite topics is my gut. I've been fighting them for 50 years, a battle of the balls. I haven't won it yet. But anyway, Wendy, welcome to the program. Come on in.
Hey, Pastor Butch. Always great to talk with you and all the listeners here. We're going to talk about this gut map that scientists are working on. Now, it may sound benign, or to some people it may sound kind of serious, but the University of North Carolina in Raleigh, they've been busy designing a map of your digestive system, and some may be saying, well, didn't medical science already have some knowledge about the human digestive tract, you know, with the help of anatomy? Well, yes, but they have not as much as they want to know, and they want to get more information, especially on the cells that make up the digestive system. So I thought we'd check this out, because I've said before, Pastor Butch, the body's most important organ is going to be your digestive system. And
yes.
I wrote about that in my book, The Power Herbs, 13 Herbs Every Medicine Cabinet Should Have, and I stated that, you know, that the bowel is the most important organ. You know, some male readers were kind of disappointed to hear that, but it is true. So do not know that the bowel has an immune system as well as a detox system. So it is the last stop, as you know, for toxin removal of the human body. That's where a lot of the waste material ends up. And the appendix gland is in the bowel. It's between the large and small intestine. And it's really an immune system gland that secretes a solution to protect you from infections. An example would be food poisoning. So if you eat something that can make you sick, what happens is the appendix gland will secrete a fluid to evacuate the bowel quickly to get rid of it. Now, Montezuma's Revenge, also known as Traveler's Diarrhea, that would be the same kind of example. Okay? So the body's trying to protect you when that happens. It's unpleasant, but it's trying to protect you. So the gut's real important. So the scientists want to learn more about why the gut does what it does. And they want to know why the gut is affected when, you know, people get nervous or even when they eat certain foods or take certain medications that don't agree with some people but is okay for others. So if people are all different, what makes their gut different is what scientists are asking. So these were all some of the questions that the researchers were aiming to answer in this research. So the research is done at the University School of Medicine in their laboratory there. And what they did is they studied some cells of the GI tract from three organ donors. Now, this is important because if they took some tissue samples from a person that was still needing their digestive tract, you know, they can only take a sample about the size of a grain of rice because the tissues of the digestive tract are so delicate and so sensitive that if you took too much tissue, you could ruin a person. So there is more than one cell type in the gut itself, and each cell has its own genes, and these genes and these cells have different expressions and functions. So once all of the cells are mapped out, and then they compare these cells between individuals, it's going to give them maybe some insight into what make up gut reactions and why people react differently to foods and medicines. So your gene expression from your gut cells may be different from mine, and that's what science is trying to understand. Now, this research did get published in the Journal of Cellular and Molecule Gastroenterology and Hepatology, and I'll read you a quote from one of the researchers, Scott Magnese. He's a PhD there, Department of Biomedical Engineering. He says, "Our lab showed it is possible to learn about each cell's type and function, and in an important process such as nutrient absorption, protection from parasites, and also the production of mucus and hormones that regulate eating behavior and also gut motility, also your transit time," is what he's saying. So they're trying to understand how the cells influence all those actions, which I think is very ambitious, and I don't know if they're ever going to find all the answers they need. So they're doing what I call a deep cell dive into your gut is what they're doing. So the small intestine, as you know, connects to the large intestine, but they're exploring the small intestine because that's where a lot of nutrition is extracted from your food sources. And until now, if they had small biopsies of this type of tissue in the small intestine, it had to be the size of a grain of rice. And all the science could do was take a small sample like that without damaging it. So there's several layers to your digestive tract wall, and each layer has different cells in it, Pastor Butch. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that, but I don't understand it. But I did know that, yes. I read it somewhere. Yes.
Okay, so the research wanted to dive into the cell layers and all of its features. Thousands of cells make up the small intestine and your colon. Studying these genes of these cells will offer, they say, information on gene expression and function. And understanding all of this, these cells, how they work, how they are work together, how they influence your drug therapies, and how this is going to change drug therapy treatment of the future. So I'm thinking to myself, how are they going to profile hundreds of thousands of these cells? Because guess what? Gene expressions of these cells are different from person to person. So they've got three intestinal, they got a full intestine, small and large intestine from donors. They got three of them, and they were comparing the differences in these cells from each of these donors. And it's just massive. It's a massive database of information. So what they do is they extract the DNA from the cells, and then they run it through a sequence, and the results offer them cells characteristics and gene expression. So each cell offers its own signature with different types of genes. For instance, some cells were stem cells, while others may be mucus or hormone type cells. So the hormone cells actually signal your immune system. So they're real important. Here's a couple of quotes from the team on this research. Joseph Burklaff, she says, we were able to see the difference in cell types throughout the entire digestive tract, and we can see different gene expression levels in the same cell types from the three different donors. He goes on to say, we can look at each cell type and predict which pharmaceutical might affect which cell types individually. So they're hoping that they'll be able to more personalize drug therapy this way for people with certain, I guess, gene expressions in their gut cells. So what science may not see here is there is a delicate balance to the cells in the gut, and all drug therapies tend to disrupt them in some way. You know, if you take antibiotics, you get your gut flora's upset because it's non-discriminatory about what bacteria it kills, so it kills the good flora as well as the bad. So you can just imagine what drug therapies they're going to come up with now that will turn certain gene expressions off in your gut cells and turn others on. What do you think of that, Pastor Butch?
I think it's very interesting because I've been told by people like you that are experts that all disease starts in the gut anyway.
Right.
The gut is the most important system in your body to keep you healthy. So I would like to think you're going to improve it some.
Well, I think there's really no way they can design a drug that can make or take into account the thousands of gut cells and not irritate or disrupt their functions if they're going to be somewhat different from individual to individual. So natural
yes.
herbs, on the other hand, may be the safest option man will have. So if we go way back into ancient Babylon, Pastor Butch, and to ancient China, we can see that there's one of the number one folk remedies for digestive discomfort was ginger root. And guess what? It still is the number one.
Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah. So if you have, like, stomach distress after, eating, they would always recommend ginger root. So the modern research on ginger is that it has better action than the pharmaceutical products and with no side effects when it addresses nausea, seasickness, motion sickness, morning sickness, and even post-surgery nausea. So, and one reason science says that ginger works better than the drugs is that it does not affect the central nervous system when it works. Now, you have a nervous system in your digestive tract. The nervous system moves the bowel muscle, so you have adequate transit time, fecal matter moving down through the system and out. So you don't want to disrupt your nervous system. So that's why a lot of people, if they take pain drugs, let's say they're in a trauma, car accident, and they're put on pain medicines, they get constipated because the pain drugs interrupts the nervous system, and it doesn't discriminate which area of the nervous system it does that. So that's why people get constipated when they're on pain medicines. They can't move their bowel. Mm. They're saying the other reason that ginger is good is because God created it. Which I
imagine
thought was interesting.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, hey, ginger, regarding upset stomach, nausea, ginger, get this on a study, outperformed Dramamine. This was a Danish study. They took some naval cadets, 80 of them, and they took them on a rough seas journey, and they took ginger to suppress nausea and vomiting, and they had a 72% success rate for up to 4 hours on rough seas. So if you use ginger, you want to use, real ginger, read your labels, avoid ginger-flavored products like ginger ale. That's not going to help you. So if you have a super sensitive stomach, bananas have the ability to relieve pain and nausea. It's called dyspepsia when there's really no ulcer involved, so bananas are helpful. This was an India study that tested bananas on those that suffered from stomach pain and nausea, and 50% obtained relief. So you can check out the banana next time. If you don't have any ulcers, banana may be handy. Now, there are some foods to avoid if you have sensitive digestive tracts. Coffee, because it does have a lot of acids in it. This was a study out of the University of Michigan that found that those with stomach pain drank 2 cups of coffee a day. And the study suggested, hey, quit drinking coffee. It's the caffeine that stimulates once again the nervous system of the digestive tract, and apparently that's not good. The acid in there also had a chain reaction in the digestive tract, producing a lot of pain and nausea. A German study in Munich found that several food culprits that caused stomach pain, especially those that didn't have stomach ulcers, were products like mayonnaise, cabbage, fried foods, salty foods. So additional foods they had on the list were meats, all types of meats, coffee again, carbonated drinks, and fruit juice. So avoid those foods that overstimulate the stomach acids, and that would even include beer, wine, milk, tea, and, of course, soda and coffee. Now, according to that German study, beer is one of the worst beverages because it doubles the stomach acid output by the body. I didn't know that about beer.
I didn't either. So I don't drink beer, but I didn't know that about it. No, I didn't. Go ahead.
Well, but German beer is different than American beer, okay? I don't know if you know the difference.
No, I don't.
American beer compared to German beer is like water. German beer is very potent. They drink it warm. They don't chill it. And it'll get you flat on your back in a skinny minute if you're not used to drinking. So now, those that thought milk was really good to drink, although it may initially ease the stomach pain, it also creates a rebound effect and stimulates the stomach to produce a lot of acid because it's more alkaline. So you may have a brief relief, but then it comes right on back at you with more acids. I tell people, you know, if your acid pumps are going off, you know, in your stomach, it's because the body's in interpreting too much alkalinity. What are you eating that is more alkaline? A lot of times it's dairy. So look at what you're eating. You should have a balance of foods when you eat. So if you, let's say you have acid pumps on, Pastor Butch, what do you think you should put down there to shut those acid pumps off?
You know, I don't know. You have to tell me that. I don't know.
Something that has acid in it, like, you know, sauerkraut or pickled beets, something with, you know, it's been fermented. It has
fermented foods,
acid.
Yeah, fermented foods. That makes sense, yeah.
So you put acid in, sort of like fire fights fire. So when you get more acid in the digestive tract, then the body's not having to pump it out. So people are eating too much wheat and too much cheese and dairy. That's producing too much alkalinity. It's
You're
their diet,
pretty much. You better give your number stuff out. We're not time, Wendy.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Take care.
All right, God bless, Wendy. Bye-bye. Folks, we're at the break. We'll be joined by Melody Seastrom, and we're in for, believe me, a good program ahead. A lot of things happening. A lot of things happening. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Seastrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Seastrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Seastrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we are back. Again, this is Pastor Butch Paul. Right now, filling in from Elder Hedstrom with Discount Gold and Silver. You're listening to Financial Survival at 800-375-4188. If you want to talk to Melody anytime, give her a call, 800-375-4188. Waiting for Melody to join us any minute now. We've got a lot to cover today. I know we do, and I'll start with some of the news I have. Then when she gets on with us, I'm sure she has some very urgent information to share also. We know what's happening in the Ukraine. We know what's going on there. We know it's, at least we know part of it. We don't know at all because which side do you trust? But we're going to see the results of it here. And I don't just mean in cost for war material and maybe, God forbid, American lives. We're going to see it in our wallets. And gas climbs over $6 a gallon in Los Angeles. And we'll tell you just a minute that Trump said, watch out for prices to go up. Fuel customers in California were in for a shock this week as gas prices at the pump hit upwards of $6 in downtown Los Angeles. They're too dang high, one customer told reporters, adding it's made commuting much more difficult as she normally fills her tank three times a week. Another customer remarked he's paying over $110 to fill up a 25-gallon tank. We get another customer saying his 30-gallon tank would cost him $150 to fill up. Folks, that's a chunk of change to fill up a car of gasoline. In addition to high demand, the expensive fuel cost is directly correlated to the price of crude oil hitting $99 a barrel, as the fears increase the Biden administration could imminently get military involved in the Russian-Ukraine debacle. Meanwhile, the American people are stuck bent over a barrel. And that's really true. And folks, consider this also. They want us to go to all electric. We, that's you and I, cannot afford that, believe me. We cannot afford that. But the prices of gasoline are going up for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons, I'm sure, is they want us to be ready to switch to electric because we think we're going to get a better deal on traveling. But we're not. We're just not. As much as we like to think we're going to think it's going to catch up and get better for us, that way it's just not going to because we couldn't afford it to even buy the batteries that goes with them. We just couldn't do it. But Biden says defending freedom for Ukraine will mean higher gas prices than his already record high gas prices. Gas prices reached their highest level since 2014 when Obama was in the White House earlier this month. The current gas price remains at Obama levels, and affects and folks, it's actually going higher than that now. On Tuesday, Joe Biden assured American consumers that the price of freedom in Ukraine means gas prices could go higher. Via AAA, the gas prices are already at multi-year highs under Joe Biden. The potential invasion of Ukraine by Russia, and folks, I'll make a comment on that. Did they invade Ukraine? I guess technically they did. There have been battles between the two independent provinces for a long time, and they said they're going to get in and try to make the peace. I don't know what really happened there. I don't know that anybody really does, except those that planned it. But anyway, potential invasion of Ukraine by Russia is having a rippling effect on the oil market, which in turn is driving up the price of gas in the U.S. The national average for a gallon of gas has risen to $3.53, 4 cents more than a week ago. The Russian attack would be met by severe financial sanctions, but it led the United States and its allies. Russia will likely retaliate by withholding oil from the world market, which is already tight and struggling to keep up with demand as nations worldwide move from COVID-related economic slowdowns. Russia is one of the leading oil producers globally, behind only the United States and Saudi Arabia, said Andrew Gross. If they choose to withhold their oil from the global market, such a move would eventually be reflected in higher gas prices for drivers. And folks, not just drivers. People that haul our goods, people that produce our goods, everything will rise. Now, you heard all this. the prices, over $6 a gallon in Los Angeles. Biden said defending freedom in Ukraine is going to cost us more in gasoline. I don't know if we depend on anybody's freedom, defend anybody's freedom for a long time. I know we haven't since the Vietnam War. But anyway, Biden is all concerned about gas prices, but his administration halts new oil and gas drilling permits. How's that going to help us? The Biden administration has delayed or stopped work on federal oil and gas leases and permits following a court ruling that struck down the administration's social cost of carbon metric to account for climate risk when holding lease sales or issuing permits. Earlier this month, Judge D. Kane, Jr., Louisiana District Court, granted a preliminary injunction sought by major fossil fuel production states in a lawsuit against the Biden administration challenges so-called social cost of carbon in rulemaking and decision-making regarding lease sales. As a result of this court ruling, the administration has stopped or delayed work on leases, grants, permits, and rules so that agencies can assess whether they can now proceed, the U.S. Justice Department said in the court filing on Saturday. In it, the administration filed a motion for a stay pending appeal. So, okay, gas prices go up. We see it. It's happening. But you're going to stop permits from being able to maybe produce some more to lower the price for the people? I don't understand it. I just don't get what they're talking about. Still waiting for Melody to join us in a second. I know she'll be here soon. But along the same lines, and keep seeing things like this happen, it's amazing to me. LG Electronics shutters an Alabama solar factory amid rising commodity costs. Now, weigh this with what I'm saying with the gasoline prices, oil prices. They call them fossil fuels. Soaring material costs, supply chain constraints, and intensified price competition are some of the reasons why LG Electronics Incorporated will suffer its solar factory in Huntsville. I'm sorry, will shutter its solar factory in Huntsville, Alabama, according to a company press release. The decision comes as uncertainties in the global solar panel business continue to increase due to a variety of contributing factors, including the intensification of price competition and the rising cost of raw materials. Soaring commodity prices have sent solar-grade polysilicon prices up more than 550% in the last 2 years. Polysilicon is a critical raw material in producing solar photovoltaic cells for panels. Other commodity prices have risen, along with soaring labor and freight costs, have added to LG's margin compression, where it appears solar production has become uneconomical. Let me repeat that. Solar production has become uneconomical. The plant was opened in 2019 with 550 megawatts of annual panel output. Panel production is expected to wind down next month and officially shut down at the end of June. Around 160 employees and 60 contract workers will be fired or shifted to another LG manufacturing unit. So, oil is in short demand, and Biden does not want us to get any more out of the ground. So that's hurting the price. It's hurting us there. Obviously, solar, which is supposed to be an alternative power, is getting so high in production. They haven't shut plants down because they can't afford to produce it and maintain, I guess, any type of quality control or price control where they can keep it going into market. So that is another whammy. They're going to find out real soon that wind and solar are not the alternatives. But I guess on the plus side from what I see, because I come from West Virginia, we have been one of the largest coal-producing states in this in the nation for years and years. Banks know that. Banks have spent $1.5 trillion on coal since 2019. Folks, some people see that this so-called natural way of doing things is not going to work. And believe me, electric cars are going to be a devastation to the American people. You can take that to the bank. Global leaders have made a number of ambitious climate pledges, but it isn't quite ushered in the death of coal just yet. Since 2019, commercial banks have dumped as much as $1.5 trillion in the coal industry. Financial firms from six countries are responsible for more than 80% of coal financing and investment. So wise people are still understanding that fossil fuels are not going to go away. They can't go away. We have nothing to replace them. At least nothing yet that's viable. I mean, with the price of solar panels going up 500 for the product to make it, 550%, who's going to be able to afford that? And I personally have checked in to Whole House Solar Systems. They cannot run my house anywhere near what they should be unless they probably would do all the acreage I have in solar panels. They can't do it because it's not able to do that. In order to go fully solar or wind, you have to learn how to cut back on a lot of things, my friends. You remember the old show Green Acres on TV? How they had that little generator and had a numbering system, how they plugged the cords in. One plug's worth 7, one's worth 3, and you go over a certain number, it'll blow the generator. Well, that's what it boils down to with wind and solar. You can only put in so much. It won't do. Now, we can do it, but you won't have all the luxuries you consider that you should have right now. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to run central air and central heat for heat from solar or wind. No, you're not. Get over that. It's not going to happen. And home prices, it's hard to believe in this time when things are kind of, you think people are having a hard time. Home prices skyrocketed last year. Two regions saw the biggest increases. Home prices rose 18.8% in 2021, according to S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index. The biggest increase in 34 months of data, substantially ahead of 2020's 10.4% gain. All regions saw price gains last year, but increases were strongest in the South and the Southeast, each of which were up 25%. Phoenix, Tampa, and Miami reported the highest annual gains among the 20 cities in the index in December. Phoenix led the way for the 31st consecutive month, with prices 32.5% higher than the year before. It was followed by Tampa with a 29.4% increase, and Miami with 27.3% increase. Folks, this is pricing people that want a home. I think in my mind, at least in my wallet for sure, would price me out of the home shopping range. Now, the fact being that prices of home are going up quicker than people can afford that, quicker than people can gather enough money together to purchase a home and keep the payments, rent also has went up tremendously. What are folks going to do? Where are they going to go? These are all questions that we have to look at because they're come together at a very rapid pace. This is not a quick hit and leave. It's not going to happen that way. The Fed and everybody else kept telling me this inflation rate is going to be temporary, it's going to go away. But it's not. It's not going to go away. I know we don't like to hear that, and I don't like to say it. But I just sent a video up of Klaus Schwab to my webmaster today and asked him to put it up about his statement on the Great Reset. Schwab, it will tell you in this video, look under Economic News. On this, you'll see it on the website, on my website, PastorButch.com. You'll hear him say that everybody thinks this Great Reset will put us back where we were, back to the good old days. He said, no, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen that way. Did I hear Mel D on here?
You did.
Oh, good to have you.
There's
so much
to
cover today. So much to cover. So much going on.
I know there is, and you've been doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I didn't know you'd been here all this time, but I would have said hi to you.
Well, you were doing a great job. I didn't want to interrupt. So,
well, I appreciate that. But there's so much, and we haven't got into the Ukraine yet. I mean, I just got an article I'm going to read here from Dr. Ron Paul, by Ron Paul, the Federal Reserve, enemy of the American people, American workers. It's amazing. I mean, all this has come together, Melody, so quickly. It's like you're getting down the last 10 pieces of the puzzle, and you can finish it very quickly when you see what's happening. Things are really ramping up in a lot of different areas, including what's going on in with Ukraine. And now China said that Taiwan has always been part of this country. So there's no question that it's part of China. We're seeing things heat up everywhere. You go ahead.
It's kind of the same line that Putin took with Ukraine. It's ours, always was ours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, you know, we've just decided to claim it now, and people need to do what we want them to do. So, were you able to go over the markets at all? Or
I did. I went over. Yes, most of them were down. London and I think Japan were up, but the rest are down.
Well, we had a great day in gold today. Right now, we're still over 1900, 1908. Still sluggish, though, considering what everything's going on. But we had a huge increase. I mean, when I early morning trade, you had the Dow. It was trading, 170 to the upside? And they certainly, all three have taken a dive with the NASDAQ down a little over 2.5%. And you had the Dow drop almost 500 points. And yesterday you had the Dow actually drop 700 points before it came back to be down to, you know, the couple hundred points that it was yesterday. So, but I wanted just to focus a little bit on gold. So you have gold up 920 today at 1908.70. Silver was up 43 cents. I mean, it's soon going to be $25. See how quick these markets change.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know what would happen if Putin all of a sudden said, okay, we're going home now. and everything goes back to normal. We'd see probably some pullback in gold, but I don't think that's what Putin's going to say. My point is, you know, I want it to go to the moon. I believe gold is going to go to the moon. And I really don't, you know, Butch, it's a two-sided sword, you know, or two-edged sword or whatever the old saying is. You know, I want gold prices go, but I'll tell you what, when we see gold at 5,000, even gold at 3,000, it's not going to be pretty out there.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
And that's the whole point of owning gold.
Well, you can compare that to the economy in 1971 when gold was $35 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Compare it to today's economy with increased inflation over the last 50 years. Look what's happened to the pricing. Look what's happened to the country economically, basically. And gold is now over 1,900. So gold shows when the economy is dropping, gold improves.
Right, it does, you know, and it is. And again, we don't have these knee-jerk reactions. You know, people think that the stock market is down 1,000 points, that gold should be up 1,000 points. It doesn't work that way. But it's a longer trend. It's a longer upside potential. But when we get those moves, we're going to get those moves. And so it was a great day in gold and silver. And so premiums are still, you know, pretty much where they were. Availability, no issues as yet. But I would expect to see some if this continues. And there's a deeper conflict coming out of Ukraine and Russia. I definitely see the prices rise. They're beginning to mess with currencies. They're beginning to mess with the ruble. And I think that could have some sort of domino effect. When you start playing with currencies, you know, where there's an action, there has to be a reaction most of the time, except in the Federal Reserve's world. But so dangerous when they begin to play. There's a lot of cyber attacks, supposedly. You don't know if this is true. This is what we're told. But if it is true, there's cyber attacks attacking Ukraine's banks and so forth. How does that all trickle down and affect other things? So, and can it be done to us? And it most certainly can. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Heading into the break, we were talking about gold and silver and the stock markets. Here's an interesting note. Winter wheat prices touch 9-year high on Russia and Ukraine fears. Hard red winter wheat futures climbed to a 9-year high. Fears about disruptions to the Black Sea trade flows, which could further inflate food costs around the world. Now, Ukraine is a powerhouse agricultural producer that accounts for a quarter of the global wheat trade and a fifth of corn sales. Who knew? And any upsets to shipments could drive up prices for the staple at a time when world food costs are already at a decade high. And, I mean, these are things that will hit people hard other than just, you know, whether there's a war going on. The country moved toward declaring a nationwide state of emergency. We know that. Hard red winter wheat futures rose as much as 2.3%. To $9 a bushel, the highest for most active contracts since December of 2012. Remember December 2012, what was going on back then? Chicago wheat futures rose as much as 2.6% after closing 6% higher yesterday, edging toward a multi-year high. And so far, vessel traffic from the Black and Azov Seas, the key hub for Ukrainian and Russian crop exports, has continued as usual. The pace from Ukraine is in line with last year's bumper harvest, although fresh demand has waned. And I was looking at some of those numbers, too. They're not waned. They plummeted. Other key crops like soybeans and vegetable oils are also near multi-year highs, pushing a Bloomberg gauge of agriculture spot prices to an all-time high. So there you have it. I had no idea they produced so much, the global wheat and corn.
Did you know that they also produce a lot of fertilizer that's going to make a shortage of fertilizer in our country? That's also important. I mean, yes.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure how much we as a country actually import
of fertilizer
from Ukraine. Yeah, I don't think we do that much.
I read the numbers today, but don't remember. But we import more than we produce, obviously. We knew that. More than we export.
Well, that's with everything.
But we now become such a dependent country. I keep saying it over and over, but we're such a dependent country that every little rattle in the world somewhere affects us somehow because we're interconnected with every nation in the world, basically. And we can no longer take care of ourselves. And that's where we are today, folks. And it's not going to get any better. I wish I could say it's going to turn around, but it's too late for that. Go ahead, Melanie.
And so many of these changes, you know, might seem so little at one point in time. You know, like, how much do we import from Ukraine overall? Not that much. But it doesn't take a whole lot to have a major impact. Because it interrupts other markets. And those other markets ship us things. And so it's the old domino effect. So it doesn't matter how small that thing might be, once it starts moving and it affects everything else. And I still believe, Butch, we haven't seen, or maybe this is part of it, the impact from closing economies globally in 2020. You think things just go back to normal after you have countries that are shut down economically for a year or almost a year, some for a year, some for more than a year, if you add it all up? You know, does everybody think everything goes back to normal? It doesn't. And we haven't experienced, and this could be a part of it, because these countries were hurting for 2020. It probably gave them a lot of time to sit around and think, Butch. Well, gee, oh, yes. What can I do when this is over? Well, you know what? Can't do anything today because we're in lockdown, so, you know, put your thinking caps on and see where we go from here. Timing is everything.
This is only the beginning, and I don't want to be. I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomer, but I'm not. I'm also not a fool either. This is the beginning, and I was saying before we went to the last break, and I mentioned right before we come on, Klaus Schwab is talking about the Great Reset, and he said people are going to think this is going to put us back in the good old days, so to speak. He said it's not. It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything more than we could ever believe. And folks, this is imminent. It's not 20 years from now. I don't believe that at all. I think it's imminent. With what's happening in Canada, it's going to cross the border to the U.S. soon. I just talked to a lady today that's been trying to get here since October from Canada and can't get across the border to get over here. She wants to come down this way. So, yeah, there's a lot of things happening. And Ukrainian president drafts reservists but rules out general mobilization for now. Now, just last week, Zelensky was saying, don't panic, we're okay, right? Is that what he's saying? It's going to be okay? I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Tuesday said that he was introducing the conscription, that means draft, a reservist for a special period, but ruled out the general mobilization for Russia after Russia announced it was moving troops into eastern Ukraine. One of Europe's worst security crises indicated is unfolding after Russian President Vladimir Putin recognized two areas of eastern Ukraine as independent. Both adjoined Russia and have been controlled by the Russian-backed fighters since 2014. Okay, I got a question. If it's been controlled for the last 8 years by Russian-backed fighters, how did they just invade it? But anyway, move on. Ukraine accused Russia of wrecking peace talks on ending an eight-year-old conflict in eastern Ukraine and resisting Moscow's demands and scrap its ambition to join the NATO alliance. So they're going to draft people, reservists, from ages 18 to 60. I'm bringing them forward in case you need the battle. 18 to 60. That's what we, I guess we call out, at the one time this nation called that the militia. But these are the people they're going to conscript into battle if necessary. So I don't know how this President Zelensky could have been so fooled last week and so concerned today.
Because he's been getting small talk from Biden, that's why.
I suppose, these two provinces, these two sections, I don't know whether what you call them, provinces, the independent, whatever, the independents, have been fighting for 8 years back and forth. According to, now, whether it's telling the truth or not, I have no idea, but according to Putin, he's going in to bring peace between the two sections of country. I don't know what's going on there. But I know all of a sudden that according to Zelensky, he's panicking. And Hungary is going to deploy troops near its border with Ukraine to stop any intrusion from military coming across the border and also preparing for a humanitarian mission for all the refugees who are going to be coming across the border trying to escape from Ukraine. So it's a mess. It affects all the countries around. See, Europe is one big nation of little nations. You know what I'm saying? It's like the United States. We're faction off, but we're all one, so to speak. Not necessarily Europe as divisions, but with one country affects the next one because it's like a domino, they're side by side. So Hungary's nervous about what's going to happen with the refugees and what could happen at the border. So they're sending people, the troops in, to prepare for whatever may be necessary, humanitarian aid or, I guess, even warfare. It's not looking pretty at all.
No, and you know what? Doug Nolan had a pretty good statement here. He says Putin has been conceptualizing his counteroffensive for years. Perhaps he waited for President Trump to leave the White House, or he needed to ensure his military and technology were up to challenge. Surely he wanted to cement his relationship with Chairman Xi in China. Is it possible he's been waiting patiently for years for this moment? To us Western thinkers, only Vlad the Mad would execute such an irrational invasion, especially at this critical juncture. His calculation might be that the West has so much more to lose than Russia. And that's, if that's what his calculation is, you know, there will be no end. And, you know, I remember Bob Chapman, when we'd be talking about World War III, he always said that it would begin in the Baltics, and here we are.
Absolutely. Yep. We should have managed to here to give us some wisdom on these things, because he had an insight on things that most men don't have.
I think he still is giving us wisdom by what he told us then, as we're still remembering the things that he said.
No doubt.
So, because a lot of things, I mean, that's, if you know the backgrounds of these stories and governments and so forth, you can pretty much predict the future.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And by the way, folks, a lot of this is in the scriptures, too. And he think I'm making it up, but I'm not. It is. But what, you know, we've already put sanctions on Russia, and Putin just more or less laughed at it. I don't know what the future sanctions are going to be. But I wonder, would that be, if he actually wanted to do something, would that deter him from doing it?
If what?
If he actually wanted to move in Ukraine, actually make a big move in Ukraine, would sanctions deter Putin from making a move? I don't think so.
Not if he thinks the West has more to lose than Russia.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And we kind of really do. You know, go ahead.
And he has been planning this. He just doesn't wake up one day and say, oh, now let's move the troops over there. He knows what the West was going to do. He knows those sanctions were coming. So they prepared for it, I would think.
Well, you know they did. You know they did.
You think?
But how many nations have we sanctioned in our lifetime already, and how little good did it really do? Including Cuba, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're just 90 miles from us, you know, from the coast. So we haven't really deterred a lot of people's sanctions. And because, Putin and his group will not suffer. The people will suffer, not the elite, not the leaders. So you put sanctions, you put it on the people, not on the government of the country. And the people in Russia probably are going to just have to tolerate it. What are they going to do? I mean, look what happened in Canada when they tried to stand up. And that's not over yet. I don't know what's going to happen there. Maybe by the grace of God, something good will come out of that. But the people suffer. The government doesn't suffer. They just take it from the people, and they feed themselves. Folks, this is something that just has never worked. It's called wars, but it's never really worked. Go ahead, Mildred.
And, you know, something else. On Friday, there was a Bloomberg headline, Crisis in China's Property Industry Deepens with No End in Sight. And Thursday, China builders miss more deadlines as Yango fails to pay coupons. Chinese high-yield dollar bonds fall 1 to 3 cents on the dollar Thursday, putting them on track for a fourth day of declines. One cannot overestimate the significance of this ongoing spectacular collapse of China's massive and massively levered developer industry. So Lord knows what's going on in China. they're collapsing. They're defaulting. They can't make the payments on the coupons. This corporations, the Yango. So, you know, it's such distractions, and they make us pay attention to things that we miss, not here, but people miss headlines, or they fail to discuss China's problems. Because we're all given this information. You talk about false flag. Maybe the information that we're getting for our own government is a false flag.
Well, we know it.
Russia's really
times.
In there. Don't get me. I don't mean that's the false flag. But how much misinformation do we get coming out from our own government? I don't know.
A bunch, I'm sure. And it's sad that you really don't know where to look to for truth. It's hard to, I mean, as far as leaders go. Russia, us, you don't know where to look to for truth because we've been lied to, but of all of them, so often, who do you trust?
And I had turned on a morning program, and I was literally shocked at the disgusting comments that were made about conservatives, because we were talking about what's happening up in Canada and not talking about what's going on in Russia and so forth. And I mean, they just basically called us every name in the book. And I just can't believe that stuff is coming from these programs. I mean, it's really amazing, Butch.
Oh, I know.
It's really amazing.
It's sickening. It's sickening to see how far our nation has fallen in our lifetimes. It truly, truly is. Unless you were born back when we lived, at least when I lived back in the 50s, and saw today, it's hard to comprehend. That's why they want to get rid of the baby boomers. We're the last generation to see anything normal in this country. That's why they want them out of here. Because we can't be deceived. We lived the country. We lived in it. Lived in a time we took a gun to school, hunt after school, took it right to school. No one said a word to us. Every time you could order a gun through a catalog, you were free to do things today that are completely criminal today. And no one knows that they're 40 years younger. They never lived it.
And, you know, I was also reading things about Ukraine, about the trafficking, the human trafficking and everything going on there. There was an article, there was a headline saying that, hey, these Ukraine rebels have asked Russia for help against Kyiv, however, it used to be Kyiv, now it's Kyiv. Tomato, tomato. So, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't want to know the truth about. But we're out of time, so we can't go any further today. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.